Student Services, may I help you?
Hey, good morning. Is Richard in?
Yeah, speaking.
Hey, Richard, this is Nico over at the Bank of Cardiff. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thanks for asking. Hey, look, it looks like you were in contact with our business last year about some of the programs that we had to offer, the Working Capital Program. I just wanted to check in around this time of the year, the fourth quarter, see if you had any plans that would require some type of financing, if you had anything coming up that we could possibly be a resource to you.
Not presently. I've not really looked at that much. I don't think we had dealt with you before, right?
You had called in, and I'm checking the records here. It looks like it was last November.
Yes, I may have.
Yeah, you just inquired about some of the programs that we had to offer. We have two major ones, equipment financing and working capital. I'm not sure if it was maybe for a project that you had. You wanted some extra cash for the services that you offer, something along those lines. But I wanted to check in.
Yeah, we had, I think we had gotten some loans. They've since been paid off, I think, some months back. But I just found that the cost of those loans to be a little bit too high and the means of paying it back too rapid. So, like, you get the money and then you're paying it back over within moments from the time you receive it. So it's not really something you can – it's not like a conventional loan.
No, and that's the thing. That's what separates them from conventional loans is the fact that they are unsecured cash loans. They're designed
–
to just be a short-term loan. They're not supposed to be spread out over a long period of time because essentially you just want to pay it off as quick as you can for whatever type of project that you have coming up because the project itself should net you, you know, a certain return, and then the loan is there to get that project kick-started.
You're absolutely correct. That would be – see, that's not really the nature of our business, though, and I probably misunderstood that completely when I first, I think I took two loans, I think that I paid off. But I think you're correct. If there were a project that required a certain sum of money instantaneously that you didn't have available to you,
mm-hmm.
and you were able to monopolize on that in terms of getting a reward that would be surpassing what it's costing you to borrow.
Exactly.
I think that would be an ideal situation. And if anything like that occurs, I mean, you never know, because there are sometimes projects that we do have occasionally that would require that sort of investment.
Yeah, I was about to ask, like, what type of projects did you use the two loans for originally?
I didn't. That's the point. It was borrowed from a bank, but. And all the money was just lying there because I wasn't really using it.
Ah, okay.
All I was doing was paying off. Because if you look at our record of, we don't make a lot of money here, but we're always in the black. You know, in other words,
mm-hmm.
we're paying our bills, paying our taxes, and we're just muddling along, you know, well enough. And we do like a gross of maybe $800,000 a year, and there's always like, between $5,000 or $15,000 lying in the bank each day. The point is that it wasn't intended, and my original idea was just to have extra money,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily for any particular purpose. There was no real purpose. So all I was doing was really just paying back the money I borrowed along with interest, and there was no use for it for, let's say, to engage something that might have brought me more profitability. Now, there may be projects like we're working on now, a couple of projects that might very well fall under that category, which I have to look at, and that might be useful because there are some projects that could really rake us in a good deal of money that might be worth spending the interest that we would be required to on the principal at that rate of interest anyway. So I have to look at that more closely because we have two projects coming up, and if in the event that works out to where we need extra money, it would be worth utilizing that money for that purpose.
Right, and the purpose is to obviously get a nice return with whatever project that you have. I mean, like, the thing is, too, a lot of my clients, at least, they see these loans as a nice alternative, too. because one, they don't have to use their line of credit that they save for emergencies, or two, they just need some quick cash to have on hand. It's not like something where it's, you know, I guess you could say a necessity for every time that they need the funds. It's there when you need it, though. It's there when you need to get that project rolling. It's there when you need to kind of kickstart things. And that, hence why my clients are returning clients too, because they always have projects that come up and then we get them the funding that they need. So
yeah, I think there are probably businesses that probably rely a lot on that sort of that income, you know, where they have ongoing. Ours is more of a steady business, but there are projects at times.
Yeah, Richard, we're looking at now. What type of projects do you have coming up that would require financing?
Well, one right now, I just got off the phone with a firm that I don't know if you're familiar with our business. We basically publish material for schools. And we use third-party advertising sponsorship to pay for it. So in other words, let's say you ran a college or a high school, and you typically purchased planners, agenda books,
right,
for your student population, and it costs you so much a year to do that. So we come in and say, look, instead of buying these books, why don't you let us get some advertising money to pay for them, and if you don't mind the sponsors, which are family-friendly, appearing on those notebooks, instead of you spending $5,000 or $10,000 a year on them, we'll give them to you without cost. So the method by which we're able to do that is we see local businesses, and we've been doing this for 28 years, so we get local businesses in the community, like a pizzeria, a bank, a drugstore, whatever, that is seeking to be viewed by that school population, whether it's the parents or students or whatever, of the faculty. And they will advertise on those materials to provide them to the school free. So that's been our method of doing business with different products for all these years. Now, and we have, of course, repeated school services in many of our customers.
Yeah, of course.
Now, there's a project coming up with ID plastic cards for colleges and high schools. They're purchasing those cards presently. So I'm in touch with a major producer of those cards, and we're going to begin offering the high schools and colleges these cards without cost, these ID cards that are used by the student population that are required of them to carry as their ID as they're going in and out of these buildings recently, and having a sponsor or two appearing on that card that would underwrite the cost of the actual cards. Let's say, for instance, we have one school down in Manhattan, St. John's Law School, let's say has 28,000 students.
Right.
And they buy those cards every year. We will give it to them without cost. That's a project we're working on right now.
Wow.
Looking, in other words, reaching colleges and universities and high schools across the country. So there's an expense to contacting them. So that may be something there, but there's a good return expectancy that, you know, these schools don't want to pay for notebooks. They certainly don't want to pay for these plastic cards. And anything they can defray the cost with, that would be money they could use now for some other purpose.
Exactly.
See, we have school districts right now that use our planners, our agenda books, where they were spending between $12,000 and $16,000 a year. They no longer have to spend that money on those books because we've been supplying them for the past maybe 10 years through advertising. And the advertiser does well because these books are used and they're seen. They're visible. And because they have homework assignments in it, they're not thrown away. So print advertising in of itself has been diminished because of the internet. It hasn't been diminished when it comes to certain items such as agenda notebooks that are used by school children.
Well, it seems like you guys have kind of cornered this market too. This is the first time I've ever heard of something along these lines of a business model.
We've been doing this for a lot of years.
I just guess it's not like it's probably subconsciously implanted in my mind since I've been going to school for a while that I just never realized could have been a big business too. That's pretty cool. That is actually really cool.
Yeah, it is, and it's, you know, we only service so many, you know, I'm sort of in a retired state, semi-retired, so we're not servicing as I did back 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I had 7 offices with 350 salesmen. Now I have 7 salesmen, and I run it from my house. But I keep $250,000 a year out of the million we pick up. So that's all I need. You know, I'm not looking to do any more. And I'm a Vietnam vet, so I have young children. I have teenagers. My only children that I have, by the way, because I was doused with radiation on aircraft when I was in Vietnam and was not able in my first marriage to bear children. So we have them now. Hey, Jenny.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Every morning. So, yeah, that might be the type of program that we would utilize funds with to get out to these different organizations. And speaking to this plastic firm, they too have many hotel customers that use those cards you swipe when you go into the room. You know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Said, "Gee, Rich, can you get ads for these hotels like Marriott and so forth?" I said, "Sure, because that's what we do. You know, we can, because they're looking to tell their customer base, stop paying us money for these cards. This guy will get you the, you know, he'll be the," because they tell the hotels actually on their site, I was looking at it, to go out and get sponsors, but hotels are not set up with a sales crew to do that sort of work. You know, they're hosting people, so they're not in the business of going out and finding businesses that may want to appear on their materiel. So they need a liaison to do that. So that's what we're looking at as well.
And that sounds like it's going to open up a whole new market for you too.
Yes, it would be. It would be a new market, and it would be another wrinkle in what we have been doing all these years. But you know, there's so much you can. I eat with one fork, not three. So that means you do so
Yeah,
much of
don't
this
spread
stuff.
yourself out so thin, too, you know.
Yeah. But we could accommodate, like the Waldorf Astoria would like us to do this, and so would a number of other major hotels right in New York alone. You know, just in the general area here, there's, I mean, just Manhattan alone, there's enough hotels there to keep us busy forever. And there's a lot of sponsors that would, you know, if you owned a restaurant, a fine restaurant, you'd certainly want to be on the key tags of the key cards of the Waldorf Astoria or the Sheraton or one of
Oh,
the
yeah.
popular hotels. So
Oh, yeah.
that's a big deal right there.
Yeah, I feel as if you know, once people hear about this type of advertising, or at least the your sponsors, they're gonna all be fending for the same you know, I guess
Well,
spot.
you have certain, we've always had some form of competition, but never, you know, we're living, what is your first name?
Nico.
Nico, we're living in a world today that leaves a lot to be desired in terms of initiative. Young people today, simply because they were brought up us coddling them, the manner that we have, not all of them, but the majority, they really don't think on their feet very much. They rely a lot on whatever is told to them to do. Years ago, when I was growing up, we were entrepreneurs, every one of us, from the time I was 5 years old, shining shoes in Manhattan. And I was selling magazines door to door at the age of 10. I started my own company at the age of 13 and window cleaning. And I hired 5 kids to do that. You don't have that inspiration. These kids are not really that into that. They're into computers. You know, when I walk into a store and you look around at employees, you know what they're doing?
They're on their
phones. They're staring at telephones. They're staring at telephones, and they use their thumbs to print, and that's all they do. So there's not, and it's a sad thing to watch, because it's really, with all the education they have, they're lacking inspiration and ingenuity, which is what made this country great.
Yeah, so, it's the level of creativity has definitely diminished over the last
decade. Yeah, if you tell a guy, a couple decades, college, and I say, go down the street and sell ads, you know what he'll say? Oh, no, I can't do anything like that. I'm, you know, I need to be sitting in front of a computer or something. They don't have that desire. The few that do, do very well, by the way. You'll notice that in terms of business. The people with ingenuity are very few, but they do extremely well. And I think if you went to class, you may have been able to see one or two of those type of people.
Yeah, there's always those few that you know possess that talent.
But you know something?
Hmm.
40 years ago, 80% of the class was like that. Today, it's maybe 8% of the class.
Yeah,
that's the differential.
Yeah, it has definitely gone down. It really has.
So it's everything is made to order. It's a cookie cutter circumstance that we're in. But so what we do, like what we're doing right now, people can't do because they won't invest the time or the money or the interest in, because they say, oh, that's a lot of work. We have to, you know, go out and convince people to do things. The salesmen I have, they do this every day. They live on commission, but they're making $2,000 and $3,000 a week. But they're solely on commission. But you tell someone you're just going to get commission, they would never think about that.
No. Everybody, yeah. That also shows that they don't have necessarily the motivation to do well enough to make the money off of the commission, you know?
Well, they perceive that they wouldn't. So, you know, if they perceive it that way, then it actually becomes a reality. Where years ago you were so hungry to do anything, you know, there was nothing that wasn't possible. Nothing. You know, at the age of 16 in the summer, I was flown to the Midwest to do what they call proof passing pictures in some store in Iowa somewhere. I forget where the hell it was. Missouri, I think it was. And I was in a store, 16, and about 10 of us slept in the same hotel room. And we get up in the morning, and people's pictures, that you know, they take pictures of your kids and everything. We were the proof passers to try to sell them on bigger items.
But
that's 16 years old, and, you know, they flew me out to the Midwest. I was making money all summer, and I was making maybe $300 a week, which was back in 1962 a lot of money, you know, for any kid my age anyway.
Right.
Dad wasn't making that kind of money. So This is what we had then. We had kids that were hungry. They were, you know, whatever little you gave them, they made it into a greater amount.
Exactly.
And today it's like they really, if it isn't handed to them, they don't know what to, you know, they don't know where they're going.
It's so true.
I mean, look around you. Look at your friends. Look at your environment. People are just to get the job done. They don't even want to do that. They're looking for ways to cut corners.
Yeah.
This doesn't work. I mean, you're on the phone having to talk to people. That takes a lot of initiative. It takes a lot of strength, inner core strength, because you get a lot of people to hang up on you, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's mental strength. That's what it is.
It's that kind, and that you have that Yankee ingenuity. I don't know.
But it's also the drive too. I mean, the drive to, you know, obtain new clients, the drive to help people, that motivates
right.
me.
Yeah, and your commission, you know, you're looking to make some money here. And that is good. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. People have made it into a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's always been a good thing. The problem we have is that's why you see Trump doing so well, where a man like that shouldn't even be running for office. Certainly not the presidency, but the world, the country, half of it is so pissed off at what these politicians have done and the handouts they've been taking that we're, you know, the people are tired of it and they just want something different. As crazy as he is, I think he's going to win.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting one that I've never encountered before, as young as I am.
I haven't either, by the way, in all the years I've been around. I don't think in history we've ever had anything quite.
Exactly. So that's why it separates itself, this election does, from everything else.
Mark my words, he's gonna beat her. He's gonna beat her because the amount of anger. And by the way, there was a foolproof. It's funny, at Halloween, you know, they sell these masks of Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And of Trump. Trump, they've run out. He has sold 55% more than her. Hers is still lying there. And they said that for the last 90 years that they've been making those masks has predicted the president of the United States.
Yeah, I saw that. I actually read that article. There was a few. One of the guys said that you can predict the outcome of the election based off of Trump, presidential masks. It's pretty interesting.
The image. And they said because, and by the way, I've seen that in stores that we visit where they have little outfits for pets. They have pet stores that we work with.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the Trump pet mask and the Hillary pet mask to put up your dog's face. And Trump's are all gone and Hillary's are all lying in a box. She should be, by the way.
Hey, between you and me.
Anyway, let me look at what we have. I don't have your number, though. Well, hold on a moment.
Yeah, why don't we do this, Richard? I'd love to at least, like I said, be a resource for you and see what we can do to help you with these projects. Why don't I just shoot you over my contact information via email so you have me on file? What's the best email that you have where I can get in contact with you?
Just the student lifeline at AOL.com.
You said student lifeline at AOL.com.
Yeah, studentlifeline, just as it sounds.
Okay, at AOL.com. All right, I'll shoot over my contact information so you have me there. Is there maybe a time you want me to follow up with you, just check in and see how those projects are going?
Well, I would call you because if there's a need for some investment, which there very might well be, not a great deal, but some income. Okay. I will call you.
Okay.
If I don't call you, they don't need it.
That sounds like a good plan.
You could always call and say hello to me, though.
I know, and that's what we're at least on my end, the bank that I work for, we're a relationship-based bank, so I always would probably check in again with you later on if I don't hear back from you.
Very good. Okay.
All right,
Richard. Your day today.
You too. Take care. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you.
All right. Bye now.